You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy, crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music.
Good morning. I can do this. Good Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara for Maybe I Can for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good to be back doing what I enjoy doing. So hope everybody had a good 4th of July weekend. And back at work, summer's kind of busted out. Hot here on the West Coast. That's right. And we have the forest fires to prove it. Not necessarily just forest fires, but tends to be what happens in this time of the year. And you know, a lot of debate around the country about some of the environmental policies that may or may not help in terms of firefighting. So we have that going for us anyway. But the G20 summit in the news, chiefly today, and John Ubaldi is going to come on and talk to us about that. So he of the Ubaldi reports. So we'll talk to Master Guns about that this morning. And then, Donald Trump Jr. denies he colluded with a Russian lawyer. So here's the deal. Hey, man, I've got some dirt on the Clintons. Really? All right, you know we're all about that, politics. That's not the issue, though, I don't think. The issue is you didn't disclose it, man. Oh, well, he's gone back and disclosed it. Exactly my point. After what, somebody raised the issue? I hate when that happens. Right? I hate when that happens. So, anyway. So, the dance goes on. That happened. Also, kind of a programming, a little bit of a programming note. If you've listened to parts 1 and 2 of Colonel Zinni's Combat Concepts PME, you'll be happy to know that parts 3 and 4 are on the website now. All you've got to do is go to the podcast page. You'll see them. Scroll down. You can just punch Zinni into the search window and they'll come up. And pretty exciting, actually, in a very geeky way. I'll betray myself. And that is I got the whole video transferred. I had a copy, a VHS copy, which I would have transferred myself. However, the I cut off the last 90 minutes of it. Yeah, for some stupid reason. So the only format I had it in was a beta format. Now, there's a long story that goes with that. At the time I bought a beta camera, it was a superior platform, right, when it first came out. And it's been used by TV Media forever. It was smaller, and what I liked about it was they made the first camera that was like an all-in-one thing. You didn't need a battery pack on your hip. Right, and have to do that. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to take it with me on a deployment. Yeah, so that's what I did. And so anyway, I transferred it originally in 1989 or 90. I found the original tape. I brought my VCR in from home to work, or maybe I took it home, I don't know. And I transferred between the two. But who's got a beta machine now, right, to transfer it? Well, if you go looking, there's people that do. So I met this guy named Mike, and he was been in the film business and the digital entertainment business, and now runs his own business out of his garage. His garage looks like, I don't know, some kind of control room from hell. But I think he's got every kind of machine with every kind of digital format, non-digital format, reel-to-reel tapes, cassette decks. Yeah, you name it, he's got it. So I took it out there, and he actually had to. I was surprised. He said, yeah, because I wanted to see if – I wanted to make sure that the part that I wanted, which is the last half, was on there. So he would have had to fast-forward it. He said, I don't really want to do that. It'll damage the tape. He said, when was the last time you played this? I said, early 90s. He said, yeah, it's stuck together. And what I have to do is I have to bake it in an incubator and get the moisture out of there, and then the tape will move easily. Otherwise, I'll damage it. And so, you know, he had it for about 3 or 4 days and gave me on a little thumb drive, he gave me the completely digitized version of it. And so that video is now on the website in 4 parts. So let me just tell you, as I was kind of putting it up and watching it, that video changed my life. I didn't know him, had never heard of him, who's a dude with a funny last name. And he showed up that night, and he was everything that I thought a Marine officer would be. And he also very much spoke to me as a guy. He's a funny guy, and he busted balls on everybody in the room. Busted balls on Bill Lind, who was kind of a sacred cow. You know, he was, and Bill Lind was great at busting everybody else's balls. And here's Zinni up in front of a room full of Marines with Lind in attendance, busting his balls. It was awesome. He busted General Ben Riper's balls right in the middle of it, and he does nothing but ball bust on Marine Corps doctrine. But it was more than that. It wasn't just him ball busting. It was, you know, him, you know, why these things didn't make sense to him, and the different things he'd read and his combat experience, all kind of woven into this pitch that he gave called Combat Concepts. So we will get General Zinni on, and we'll talk to him about the development of it. I would tell you this, if you're a commander at any level and you don't have a pitch like this, and I would maybe accept platoon commanders because they're so young, but even maybe them in their second year ought to have pieces of this that they give their guy. Company commander, without a doubt. Battalion commander, without a doubt. Regimental group commander, without a doubt. Division commander, without a doubt. The essence of commander's intent is operating with a change situation and a mission that may have to change, with no communication. How do you know what he wants you to do if you don't know him, the commander? And the commander's job, so for all you regimental commanders, company commanders, battalion commanders, division commanders, MEF commanders that are listening, if they don't know you, if you haven't given them a pitch like this, you're not doing your job. Yeah, go ahead and mark yourself deficient and unscrew yourself. All right, with that said, John Ubaldi set to get to join us here in a few minutes. United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Good morning to you. cue the moto.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
It's 7:14. John Ubaldi going to join us here in a few minutes. Check the weather on the Marine Corps. Partly cloudy in 78 in Quantico. Partly cloudy in 80 Camp Lejeune, Granbury, Texas. Gunner was live streaming last night. We'll talk to him about it. Yeah. So he walked outside with his camera. They were in some kind of tornado activity. And so I get an alert for, I don't know why, but I get an alert when he starts broadcasting live. So I know, and the best part is I know it's going to be something stupid, but it'll be entertaining. So I always watch. Hey, what are you doing? Just watch and find out, Mac. Yeah, it's a balmy 73 degrees this morning in Big Timber, Montana. How about that? 82 and sunny in 29 Palms. Yeah, 7 in the morning, it's 82. That means by mid-morning, it'll be 90. By the afternoon, 110, 115. So that's how that's going to go. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 72. A little bit humid on the West Coast. Okinawa, Japan. Cloudy dark, 84. Camp Smith in Hawaii. Clear dark and 77. The city of Fallujah in Iraq, 114 late in the day. And at the home of All Marine Radio. Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, Southern California, it is 70 degrees. Looking for a high of 84. I'm not down with that. I don't want 84 today. I want a little bit cooler. I like 78. Leave the thermostat right there. It's all good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let me tell you, Elsie's going to be on the show today. The show's going to be a cool show today. It is most days, but today, Mike Etor. Going to join us. I met Mike at the basic school in Quantico. He showed up right, I think I was right in 92 he showed up, and I was just getting ready to leave. And so Mike is a prior enlisted Marine, staff sergeant. He's an outstanding leader throughout his entire Marine Corps career. He's a recipient of the Lefkowitz Trophy, served in Beirut where he met his wife. Yeah, how about that? So we'll get to the bottom of that story. And then gets out of the Marine Corps. And he's the founder of Fidelis Leadership Group. And he's done some other things as well. So Mike Etor, interesting guy. And always about leadership. So was a drill instructor at the age of 20. Yeah, what? You heard that stuff like during World War II, but not during the 70s or the 80s. What the hell? So we'll talk to Mike Etor today, and then the gunner will join us. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning. All Marine Radio, back on the air. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Minutes after 7 o'clock here on the West Coast. That would make it 10:22 on the East Coast. John Ubaldi joins me from... Where are you right now, Master Grant?
I'm in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, how's Tampa treating you, big man?
Well, could you guys complain? You guys have been like in the triple digits.
No. 80, well, 80's like the triple digits on the coast. Now, inland, once you get to Riverside or even Anaheim, yeah, that's their problem, okay? But we don't do that here where I am. But Tampa...
I mean, it's been nice. It's been like about 92, 93. We get a lot of the rains coming in the late afternoon. But the water's nice. I did my mile swim this morning. Pool was like 86 degrees.
Oh, my, that's disgusting. 86-degree pool. Oh, my God. No wonder all the old people are down there. The pools are warm.
Well, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. In the Gulf, the temperature was 90 degrees.
The water temperature?
The water temperature got up. That was pretty high. Usually it stays about 84 to 85 degrees. Water temperature was pretty warm.
Hey, have you seen Tiger Woods? He's rolling around somewhere down there, isn't he?
No, I haven't seen Tiger Woods. I drove by, I think, 2 weeks ago. I went by Derek Jeter's home.
Yeah, supposedly he's having some problems getting all the money to buy the Tampa Rays.
No, the Florida Marlins.
Yeah,
he was trying to,
same thing.
He and Jeb Bush were trying to get to buy the Florida Marlins. I guess that fell through, so I'm not sure what he's doing now. But he got a huge mega mansion here in Tampa.
Yeah, he's done okay in his life, Derek Jeter. He just got married, a year ago. They're expecting a kid. He was at old.
Yeah,
go ahead.
He's not hurting for money.
Evidently, he might be a little bit. Not how could a guy like that not be able to pool the assets?
But you got to remember, when you're buying a major league baseball, a professional baseball team, you're talking into the billions.
I know, but we're talking Derek Jeter, okay?
Well, it all depends what his other partners had, and just I don't know why.
Yeah, like that guy, like that guy can't get another partner. Hello.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who he was getting. I know here in Tampa, the owner of the Lightning, everybody loves him down here.
Oh, come on!
He really puts a lot. He puts a lot of funding into the community, and he's really revitalized a lot of areas and stuff. And the Tampa Bay players on the Lightning just love the guy because he just treats them well. Even had a friend of mine who had season tickets, he got to meet all the players on the Lightning. So he really does a bang-up job taking care of his customers, and the fans love him. I mean, you see Lightning flags everywhere.
Yeah, hockey's a little bit different, though.
Yeah.
It's a different...
The Bucks owner...
It's a different
culture. The Tampa Bay Buccaneer owner.
why is the water temperature so warm?
I think it's just, I mean, don't quote me on this, but I think it's the current that comes up between the sun and the warm current that comes in from Africa, because like where all the hurricanes start from, they come, the weather depression comes off the African coast, so that water temperature, probably the current,
okay,
just makes it that warm.
Okay, look, I don't, when Marines start talking ocean, first of all, when infantrymen start talking ocean current from Africa, I know my bullshit meter like starts whoop, 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 whoop.
I know it does, because we were on active duty when we started talking baseball. When you questioned me when I said Roberto Clemente was a Marine, no.
Yeah.
You had to look it up.
Yeah, I did. Let me tell you, that was one of the great shocks of my life, because you would think you would have known that would have been some, and I've been around baseball since I was a little kid. How the hell do I not know that Roberto Clemente was in the Marine Corps? And guess what? Ubaldi says that to me. I'm like, that's bullshit. He's like, no, it's not. I'm like, there's no way that I don't know that. And I look it up, and here's Roberto Clemente. In his sateen greens. I'm like, oh my God, no wonder he's such a great dude. But
I wish I was.
Oh, you're invoking Roberto Clemente to validate your water current from Africa theory?
There you go.
No, and let me just tell you, because I thought you were full of shit, okay, I pull up this National Oceanographic, NOAA, what is NOAA? National Oceanographic, whatever, Atmospheric Administration, right?
Oh, absolutely. There you go.
Okay, so they've got this water temperature map of the eastern Gulf of Mexico, and every place there's a little red, you know, icon there that gives you the water temperature. Okay, so I figure, like, what would be the temperature in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico if it's that warm by the coast? It would have to be, what, 75? No.
Yes,
no, it's 85 in the middle of Gulf. So right where the word Gulf of Mexico is on the map, which is smack dab in the middle, right, due south of New Orleans, west or east of Monterey, and west of Miami, like right in where those lines would intersect. 85 degrees. You got to be kidding me.
Oh, you got to love that out here.
Oh, man. What about, let's see, what is it off the California coast today? Yeah, 63 degrees. Off the coast of California. And right on the coast, let's see, Carlsbad, which we all know and love, 72 degrees. San Diego, a balmy 74.
What's it up by San Francisco? Because that's where I grew up.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be 59, I'll say.
Yeah.
Okay, so off the coast of San Francisco, water temperature is 53 degrees. There you go. Said we were going to talk G20. Instead, we're talking water temperature. Go figure.
There you go. You never know where the conversation
is. That's right. You never, ever know. All right, let's talk about G20. The big headline out of the G20 was?
The big headline for me is that it depends where you sit. Is they think that Trump came away a big loser because he pulled out of the climate accord and everybody was still supporting of that. But I still think he came out a winner because he thumbed his finger in the eye of Vladimir Putin, because he sent it to the Europeans. We've got the energy. We can sell this to you. And that's what he told Poland. We'll give all you the energy so you're no longer dependent on one region for your energy needs. And that seemed to be missing in that whole G20 summit. And that creates jobs back here in America. That's why the energy prices are so low.
So again, you and I were talking before we came on. I thought one of the reasons, one of the headlines out of the G20 was that was a win for Trump, was that there was no major meltdown. You know, people can take him to task. So he looks at Putin and he says, "Why'd you meddle in our election?" And Putin looks at him and says, "What are you talking about?" And Trump says, "You know what I'm talking about." And he says, "Mr. President, Russia would never meddle in your election." And so now at that point, what does Trump say? He's got two courses of action. One is to say, "Got it, you're a liar, you know, I would expect the same," and or for him to become indignant and storm out of the room. And I think that the way the game gets played, you expect him to deny it, and you just
correct.
At that point, you know, it's a covert issue, and you leave it as that. I don't know. The only thing that was missing was him going to a podium and saying, "I looked into his eyes."
Correct. That's George Bush Jr. Yeah. But here's something that came out last week.
I looked into the former head of the KGB's eyes, and I could trust him. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's an interesting. I can trust him. You're right. But here's something that also came out last week that was written by the Washington Examiner.
Yeah.
This I didn't know. When they talk about Russia meddling in U.S. elections in favor of Trump, the DNC got hacked.
Right.
We all know that.
Right.
But the federal government, no federal investigator has seen that server that was potentially hacked by Russia or whoever.
Yeah.
The question for me, what's on that server?
Well,
because they would be buffed. 10, 15 times. Was, now there's a memo supposedly, allegedly going around stating that Loretta Lynch said she was going to do everything she can to keep this investigation from going too far.
Of course.
I still think there's more, there's something going, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, there's something going on, because why haven't you
okay, so hold on. You're going to charter the black helicopter this morning?
That's right. I'm going to charter the black helicopter.
And
I got a pilot all ready to go.
And the issue is that the Democrats didn't want anybody looking at what they had on that server?
Correct.
Wait, and you're shocked by that?
No, I'm not shocked by that. I'm just stunned that the investigation hasn't revealed what was on that server. It's just like
right. The
Hill, which is an online news organization, reported that James Comey and those memos that he took to Trump,
right. There
was classified material on those memos.
Uh-oh.
So it seems like anybody in Washington can put classified materials anywhere they want, handle it any way they want, but all the peasants, like us in the military, would be crucified and be in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
Yeah. Well, look, come on, stop. Look, you're shocked that there's a different set of rules made for those those ass clowns? They make the rules. They created the game. So, I mean, we're just the unfortunate ones who swear an oath and actually mean it, and then get taken to jail for it. So the bottom line is not too much news coming out of the G20. No major announcement.
No.
There's some kind of bullshit armistice in Western Syria. That allows for what? Another 2 days?
2 days? I'm like 2 hours. that's even there. What's going to happen? You got Russia, you got Hezbollah, Iran, the Syrians on one side, us, the Sunnis, the Kurds, Turks kind of float both ways, depends where they are, on one side, and no one's discussing, okay, now what comes next? The Iraqis just stated that they've got Mosul, but what about the old residuals from ISIS? What happens next? We don't know that yet.
Good question. What happens next? Okay, so that's but we got a ceasefire going on over there, so that was big news. Also, the other big news over the weekend, late last week and into the weekend, was the government of Iraq has said that the Mosul, the city of Mosul, is now back in their hands.
Correct.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's back in their hands, but then it goes back to what I said a few minutes ago. What comes next?
Yeah,
I mean, Mosul is destroyed pretty much because they've been fighting there. Where's the governance? We still have Iran controlling the Iraqi government. And then you've got what's going on in Syria because they have a ceasefire. But what about that eastern half? Who fills the void there? We've seen that in Iraq and Afghanistan. Take a government out. Now what?
Okay, so bottom line is, I wrote a little editorial last week saying now the hard part starts. And the editorial essentially says this. I write editorials. I saw a blurb put out by Inherent Resolve, Commander Joint Task Force Iraq, right? 6 weeks after being free from ISIS, life is returning to normal as food and medical supplies are delivered to Tabak, Syria, after Daesh, hashtag after Daesh. And so they were alluding to, the future of Mosul. My question is, can we win the peace? So this is another crack. Okay, now we've ejected for better or worse. And again, there'll still be fighting that goes on in Mosul as some of those idiots kind of gather together. But it is I would liken it to the Japanese resistance on Iwo Jima after the battle concluded. Yeah, there'll be events that happen. There was a bonsai attack on an Army Air Force tent at the southern end of the island after the island had been declared quote unquote secured, and it was essentially a last gasp of a bunch of guys who are going to die fighting. So you'll see that. But the question is, do Secretaries Mattis, Tillerson, and do the president have what it takes to win phase four and to, because all this fighting just gets you to the doorstep of being able to do something.
Correct.
Now comes the truly important part. Can you convert it into something stable, something economically viable, so that it becomes a stable piece of what has been heretofore unstable? So, you know, we've always believed in General Mattis. He said, in my opinion, Mattis has an opportunity to become the George Marshall of the 21st century. And George Marshall was his chief of staff of the Army. The Marshall Plan is named after him, the way that we dealt with Germany and Japan, and then ultimately the way we dealt with South Korea as well, in terms of being there for the long term, and then aid packages and whatever other packages to get it to become economically viable and stable. And so,
But the strategy coming out of before the end of World War II, they started with the Morgenthau Plan in 1944, and they were planning for the reconstruction of Germany and then in the Far East with Japan. But the thing that we learned is we learned the wrong lessons of those two conflicts. I mean, granted, Germany and Japan are far different than the Middle East.
Right.
But there was one person in charge of each area. In Germany, it was General Lucius Clay,
right.
And in Japan, it was MacArthur, then later on, it was Ridgway.
Right.
They controlled the shots. I mean, we were in Iraq. I mean, okay, you had the military in charge, then you had State Department doing its thing. There was no coordinated effort. And hopefully, we learned those lessons. Now, it's going to take General Mattis, and I think you're right, he could be the next George Marshall of the 21st century. And also H.R. McMaster's too. These two guys know that region. But they also going to have to sell it to the American people, why we still need to be engaged there.
Well, no kidding. I mean, that's to me the piece that we've missed. It's like the kinetics end, and now let's come home. That's not the way it works. Any place we've ever been successful, we've never done that. But for whatever reason, you know, we have this timeline in our heads as a nation that once the shooting stops, that we're supposed to come home. No, that's when the building begins. That's when the true important work starts. And so we find ourselves there again with the Iraqis, and now we're going to start fighting, you know, what happens with the Iranians, what happens with the Iraqi Kurds, and all of that. So it'll be interesting.
Well, it's almost akin to, if you just follow history. You mentioned Korea. People fail to realize Truman, when he did run for re-election in 1952, Eisenhower said, we're going to fix this one way or another. We're going to fix this. He didn't say, okay, we're done. It wasn't my war. That's Truman's war. I'm leaving. He realized you could think strategically. That's what we need to think. We need to think not just to the next election. We need to think long term.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are we capable of that, and can you do that without Congress? Because this stuff has been done largely by the executive branch without going back to Congress after their initial authorization. Well, hold on. Save that thought, all right? Can you create a long-term policy in the United States without going through Congress? Because if you do go through Congress, you know, it kind of gets messy and gets very public. But to me, it's the way you create long-term policy is by going through Congress. And so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll consider that little idea. My guest this morning is none other than the son of an Italian sailor, John Ubaldi, former Master Guns, United States Marine Corps. You can find him at that Ubaldi Reports, both on Facebook and on the Internet. So check it out. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. ...7:46 on a Monday.
Strangers in the night.
Francis Albert Sinatra from Hoboken, New Jersey.
What were the chances?
Singing a very romantic song about a one-night stand.
For the night.
Yeah, think about it. Strangers in the night.
Something in your eyes.
Yeah, something in your eyes. That's right. Anyway, another it's an all-Italian morning, okay, that's why I play in Sinatra. Anyway, but think about it, Strangers in the Night. But you never thought of it as a song about a one-night stand. Maybe they fell in love. Yeah, right. Anyway, okay, all right, Ubaldi, so talk to me. Give me your conclusions. Can we have a long-term foreign policy that survives? Because you know... let's just say that I'll create a hypothetical for you. Here's my hypothetical. Let's just say Secretary Mattis, along with Secretary Tillerson, gives the president a long-term view of what has to happen in Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, okay, and also North Korea. And if he doesn't go to Congress, then surely, and if let's just say we're still involved in conflicts in Yemen, in Somalia, and there's still some fighting in Syria, which there certainly will be for the foreseeable future, then the Democratic nominee is going to stand up and say, I will end these wars. This is stupid. Okay? So how do we have a long-term foreign policy without another fool like Barack Obama getting elected, and then he has to publicly announce that he will end the war in Afghanistan, and much to our strategic detriment, withdraw forces and do what he did in Afghanistan and then what he did in Iraq. How do we avoid that?
Well, that takes what you just said in the lead-in. That takes a president. He gets his recommendation from his foreign policy team, and he needs to do twofold. He needs to get representatives from both sides of the political aisle, not just one, but both sides. And also, he needs to go to the American people and needs to lay it out and level with them. Don't give rosy assumptions like we've done in the past under both Bush and under Obama, but we need to let the American people, this is what it's going to take. This is why we need to be engaged in these areas. And no one's really explained why we need to be engaged in these areas, but you need both. You need members of both parties, and this is where the Republicans and Democrats in Congress need to forget partisan politics and start thinking what's best for America, not what's best for their party. Because we can't go back to what you just said. When Barack Obama came in, he said, I'm going to pull out of all these wars, and now he left the new guy, Trump, with five wars. And people need to understand the role the United States play. We're not any country like Russia or China. We have a unique role to play in the world. And that's how we need to get out and sell it.
Okay, so is Congress's lack of involvement in this, is it part of the problem? When one executive, it's like the fiat of the executive order. Obama leaves, Trump reverses everything that he's done by executive order, which is most of what Obama did. So how do we have a longer, more responsible, what mechanism needs to be involved, and does it have to be done, you know, with Congress going
well,
with...
Well, it has to be, because you can do certain things by executive order, but these major things, you need to have buy-in, it needs to be a bipartisan buy-in. Everybody needs to dial this down and quit. I mean, you can criticize the current president on a multitude of fronts, but that said, he's the one that leads American foreign policy. We can't have, well, we're going to do this, and the next president, we're going to pull back. No one's going to have confidence in the United States. The reason why we've been successful throughout the Cold War is because no matter what party came in, it really didn't greatly alter U.S. strategic foreign policy. Now we seem to have one president does one thing, another president comes in, I'm going to do it this way. And the American people also need to understand this. Leading from behind doesn't work. No leader I ever heard of said, we're going to lead from behind. And there was a former Danish prime minister who was also the secretary general of NATO said, he wants America's leadership because he knows only America has the moral authority to lead, not Russia, not China, not Iran. We have to provide that moral leadership, and that all doesn't take military action. There's a lot of things that we can do. But you need Congress on board, and you need the American people on board.
All right, let me read you an email. I'm listening this morning, and I'm wondering, what does congressional, quote-unquote, buy-in look like? Is it in the form of a reauthorization act? What are you talking about? Would it be something like the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, authorizing the use of force and articulating America's interests in the area and its goals? Question mark. I am disturbed by what President Obama did. And the fact that even though he didn't start that stuff, it was his responsibility to conclude it in the best interest of the nation, and he turned his back on it and left us the festering boils that we're dealing with today. I've heard Max say that history will judge him harshly, and I absolutely positively believe that. He was weak. And I get it. You didn't start it. But Truman didn't start World War II either. Your job as the president is to do what's best for the United States' strategic interest. But I am concerned that it seems like we have this ship that tacks one way for a few years, then we'll tack another way for another few years. It is no way to create long-term strategic stability in the areas that we are concerned with. Appreciate the program. Love Master Guns when he's on. Semper Fidelis. So there you have it. So what is it? Would it be a resolution? What would we be talking about?
It could be a combination of things. But the one segment he said, President Obama didn't start the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but it's up to him to finish it on the best, which is best for the United States. Now I take back the history. Like you said, Truman didn't start World War II, but neither did Eisenhower start the Korean War. But when Eisenhower came in, he didn't just say, "That wasn't my war, we're pulling out, let's go." He kept American troops there. Korea was allowed to fester into a democracy it is today. And even back in 1980, Korea had a military coup. So like it was 30, 40 years ago, they've got a sizable democracy. It's going to take a combination of things. Where are we trying to go with this? It's just like with the Iran nuclear deal. Everybody knows that is a bad deal. But everybody on one side of the aisles, because their president, Obama was a Democrat, we can't go against him. That was a bad deal, and we're going to pay for that. So we just need to do a combination of strategic strategy where both Republicans and Democrats jump on board and realize this is in the best interest of the United States. I could care about partisan politics. What's best for America?
I guess that's a good question. So what would you do? And because it would be risky, because is everybody going to be on board? Good question. But these questions are too substantive to leave the partisan politicians, because they will most certainly screw it up.
No, they would, because they're putting their ideology. The one thing Trump did.
How did Marshall do it? I'm going to have a guy who's kind of a Marshall guy on Wednesday, because I'm curious about this. How did Marshall do it? How did he convince everybody? Hey, we need to rebuild Germany and Japan as opposed to lay the wood on them, as we did at the end of World War I. Okay, I got it. But how did he keep us? I mean, it became our policy. Nobody screwed with it. That was the way we did it. But now, God, every 4 years.
Well, see, the thing is, the way Marshall did it, when first of all, he was the chief of staff for the Army from 39 to about 45.
Right.
And he was there with Franklin Roosevelt. One time, Franklin Roosevelt called him George, and he goes, "Mr. President, my name is General Marshall." And he kept a distinct distance from the president. He knew where he wanted to go, and he didn't play the partisan politics. He kept a distance from both parties. He did what he needed to do. And he had great respect on both sides of the aisle because of that. We don't have those individuals today. That's where I think the biggest success that Trump had, and look who he picked running this foreign policy team. Rex Tillerson of State, H.R. McMaster, National Security Advisor, and James Mattis. These aren't partisan hacks coming out of Washington. These are guys who've done things in the arena. And they're not the problem with the Obama administration's foreign policy, they were all political guys coming out of Washington. Mattis, McMaster, and Tillerson aren't those. These are guys who've got their hands dirty. They know this stuff. They're looking at what's best for America. And as we started at the beginning, they swore an oath to defend America, not the Republican or Democratic Party. And that needs to change.
All right. All right. Tell everybody where they find you.
They can go to UbaldiReports.com, or they can go to my Facebook and type in Ubaldi Reports, and you can come up and find me.
Got it. John Ubaldi, retired Master Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps. First of all, thanks for doing this. Those are heavy questions. I mean, how do we get out
of
this?
They are very heavy questions.
You know, it's like a sailboat tacking, you know, east and then west. You know, the United States cannot do that with its foreign policy. It's got to be consistent.
No.
Other people depend on us. You know, and again, yeah, you might not have broke it, but you got to fix it. And you got to fix it in
correct.
The best interest of the American people. But I don't know. Anyway. All right, sir. Enjoy the bathtub water. I can't believe
I'll do
85 plus degrees in the Gulf. That's incredible. And then 53 off the coast of your old stomping ground. So,
well, you enjoy your,
72. And that's warm, man. That's warm. 72, bathtub water, man. 85, it's like, come on, man. We need to go take a cold shower and cool off. Anyway. All right, Master Gunner, thanks for the visit today.
Hey, have a good day.
There you have it. That is Master Gunnery Sergeant John Ubaldi. Yeah. It is, you know, I'll tell you what, it's incredibly disturbing. How does the nation move forward when you know in the next presidential election you're going to have somebody who runs on a platform that yanks us out of all these places? So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Mike Etor joins us on the backside of it. Mike is a retired Marine. He is one of the principals. He's the founder of Fidelis Leadership Group, a former Left Witch Award recipient. So, he and I crossed paths at the basic school years ago, and we have mutual friends. So, Mike Etor, next here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.